you know me know, I get a good laugh from videos and a lot of different memes and things on social media because, quite frankly, depending on who you interact with, social media is just hilarious.
Yeah,
but as I was reflecting on 2018, I was thinking about, you know, Yoda Kid who got famous from yodeling in Walmart. I was thinking about, you know, a couple weeks ago or this past week, the phenomenon, people talking about this movie called Bird Box. But one of the things that has brought me so much laughter over these last few weeks is this dude named Jack Weeks. Because he has dubbed himself the king of R&B.
Wow.
For this generation. He added that part on the head. But the king of R&B, so if you haven't seen the clip, this is it right here.
I'm dead, dad, and dad, and dad. And that's my son, Jack Weeks, the king of R&B. I just heard him say it, and I've been feeling like that. ATL, let's get it. I'm the new king.
So he went on his social media page, on his Instagram, and that decided to say, people have been saying I'm the king of R&B. I don't know who those people are. I'm not quite sure. But he said, people have been saying he's the king of R&B. And he said, I've been feeling like that for a while now. Now, you know who he is. He's an Atlanta native. He's a guy who, you know, has come up in the A. He's had a little success. I'll give it to him. But enough to say king of R&B, not so much. You know, many people say that he feels this way because he's a result of the generation that everybody received a participation trophy. You know, and you know, I can't disagree, but people also say this is what happens when you just let your kids get up there and sing and they don't really say, I do. But whatever the case may be, whatever the situation is, I know that he has fallen into something that all of us fall into from now and then, time and time again, is what I would call the entitlement trap. And so that's the title of today's message, is the entitlement trap. There's a video also that went viral from Jack Weeks where he decided to sing. And so I'm gonna let you get a little dose of his singing.
I see a singing in the summer days, looking bad and jeans in my head, and words from my heart, blowing only to the wind, coming in without being said, and I don't want to go.
Necessarily to poke fun at Jack Weeks, because he has had some success. But it's really to show us that all of us can get there at some point if we feel like we are entitled to a certain title, certain level of success. And it's not really something that is new. It's not something that has just come around as a result of the participation trophy or as a result of the pat on the back, but it's something that we see in men and women for centuries. If you don't believe me, let's look at Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. If you dare say there?
There.
If you're not, I'm not going to tell you to hold up because I'm going to keep going. Verse 1. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted, but now you brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for the day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and then they prepare it there will be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening, you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning, you will see the glory of the the Lord because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? And then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. Isn't it interesting that these folks, if you don't know the story of the Israelites, they were in Egypt in captivity and slavery for a few hundred years. And in that time span, they complained and prayed and cried out to God to free them. So God hears their complaints, and he's working on this man named Moses. And so he sends Moses and his brother Aaron to go to the Egyptians. And time again, plague after plague after plague, Moses shows them signs and wonders from God. And eventually, the Israelites run away from Egypt. Not without being chased. They end up having to walk through the Red Sea, but God allows the Red Sea to be split, and they walk through on dry ground. Now, they're free. And 1 month later, they're complaining. Mm-hmm. 1 month after all of these things have happened, they find themselves in a place where they're like, back in Egypt, we had meat. You were slaves. Back in Egypt, we had bread. You were slaves. But Israelites go through the same thing we go through. Because what happens is our entitlement creeps in, and that entitlement leads to amnesia and complaining. You know, there's a saying that says hindsight is 20/20. And sometimes we can see that and look back and say, you know, looking back, I understand. But really, I don't really believe in that statement because hindsight really has selective memory. See, have you ever noticed that when you look back at your old life, it's the edited and scripted version? Like, you look back at your old life, and if you're new in Christ, then you look back at your old life and you start thinking about how cool it was and you didn't have to answer to anybody. You start looking back at your old life and you start thinking about how nice it was when you could go and do whatever you wanted to do. But you forget that God delivered you. You forget that while you are looking back, you forget that you were in that immoral relationship that God freed you from.
Come on, man.
You forget all of these things. It's kind of like when you played sports as a kid, maybe even through teenage years, and some of you even played in college. And you get older and you remember all the highlights. You remember that catch you made in the championship game. You remember the ways that you hit that home run, the one home run of your entire life. You remember all these things except for the times you rode the bench. You remember all these things except for the time when you weren't getting no clock, no playing time. You weren't getting in the game. You know, I think about my life, and I think about the times when, even now, I can struggle with looking back at my old frat boy lifestyle, and I can remember the access. Yeah. I can remember the party, and I can remember the debauchery, but somehow I forget the pretense. I forget the pettiness. I forget all the bad things about it.
Right.
You know, look, the challenge of the life of the believer, the challenge of the life of people striving to follow Jesus is we have to be reminded day and night of who God is. Because if we don't, we become like the Israelites. Israelites have forgotten, they forgot that for hundreds of years they pleaded with God to fulfill his promise of taking them out of captivity. They have forgotten that they were slaves, and so they start having that selective memory. They say, you know, back in Egypt there was a buffet. But their selective memory and our selective memory will make the trash treasure.
Right.
When in reality your faith is just being tested.
Right.
In chapter 15, if you were to read back, they were just singing God's praises. They were just wandering around the wilderness. Like, they were singing all the songs. Great are you, Lord.
Yeah.
I got is greater, I got strong. They were singing it, but then they forgot. If you think you're better than them, take some inventory of your life. Just from this last week. Think about the things that you forgot about. The things that God delivered you from, that you asked Him to deliver you from, but somehow you forgot. And just as you forgot, that amnesia decided to couple with complaining. What are you complaining about this morning? What if you plead for God to bring you, and now you decided, I don't want it anymore? What is that job you prayed for God to give you that paid more money, that gave you access to more things, that gave you opportunity, that you're now complaining about because you don't like the people? They get on your nerves. They're talking about you. They're backstabbing. They're people. Yes. And one of my favorite phrases is that people be people. It's not exactly correct. But the reality is that if you come to people with this lens, this is just a person. This person is fallible. This person has their own issues. This person has their own sin. Then you can embrace that people be people. Or what about your marriage? You pray, you wanted God to give you a godly spouse. But then they get on your nerves. You see them every day. You gotta interact with them. You see them up close and personal. And you forget that God gave you the answer to your prayer. Or the following Jesus. For those of you who just made the decision to make Jesus Lord and have been baptized, I promise you this was the easy part. Right? Study the Bible. You may have thought studying the Bible was hard, but you had to give up some things. You had to, stop doing some things. You had to recognize the ugliness in your heart. You had to see these things, but I promise you that was the easy part. For the Israelites, them being released from Egypt, despite how hard it felt, was the difficult part. And we can look back, looking at the scriptures, we can see that God had a plan for them. He wanted them to prosper. He wanted them to succeed. But they couldn't see it in the wilderness. They couldn't recognize it in that time. And so that complaining just kept boiling. That amnesia just kept getting worse. It's a dangerous combination. Because if you allow amnesia and complaining to set in, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start complaining to other people. And then they're going to start complaining to other people. And they're going to start complaining to other people. And what happens is you start seeing things not for what they are, but for what you wish they would be. It says that the whole community of Israel started complaining against Moses and Aaron. These men had just taken them, led them out of Egypt. They trusted these men enough to be spiritual. They trusted these men's relationship with God enough to follow them through the hard times, through the difficulty. But as soon as the wilderness came, they started complaining. As soon as the challenges came, the contagious complaining made it through like a cast. Started working its way through the community. Started saying, you know what? I mean, Moses, is he really fit to lead us? I mean, Aaron, they say he's the mouthpiece, but is he really speaking from God? And if we're honest, once again, that can be us. That can be a challenge that we face, maybe not here, Pat, but out there in other places, right? Unless we want to be transparent and honest. See, at some point we embrace this whole concept of I deserve.
Right.
If you ever said this, just think about it. If you ever said, I gave my life to Christ, I deserve to have it easy. I surrendered to God, so I deserve to be free of difficulty. I don't do with those people. those, God, that you entrusted to lead them.
He trusted you to this point, so we deserve answers. Said to the leaders, we believe God will deliver us, so we deserve better amenities. We know God said that there will be a land flowing with milk and honey. Where is it? We deserve a timeline. I need you to lay it out, God. You told us that there was a promise to be fulfilled, even though we've been slaves for hundreds of years. And as soon as what they deserved became seemingly inconsistent with what they received, there was a problem.
Right. Come on, guys.
Instead of realizing that in trial and in difficulty, God tried to refine us and tried to refine them into what he called them to be.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have been on this. Like, I didn't want to do this in the first place. Like, I got to the burning bush, and you're like, Moses. And I'm like, what? What? I mean, I'm cuffed because the bush is burning, I don't get it. And then I'm like, God, I got a stuttering problem. I can't do this. He was like, well, I got air for you. Don't go to God. So after I go through all this, I didn't want to do it in the first place, and now y'all are playing?
Right.
Really? Oh, a $5 box of poppers? You have got to be kidding me. But that's what it equates to, because these people were complaining. Not the really reality is their hearts. It wasn't about their hearts towards their leaders.
Yeah.
It was about their hearts towards God.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that their leaders were the visible representation. And so they were easily ready to, Moses and Aaron, you know, I don't know if they fit this.
Right.
I don't know if they cut out for this.
Come on,
you see, the thing is when you're on a mission to seek and save the lost, we have to be on guard against it. Because Satan is not happy about you being free from bondage. Satan is not excited about you being free either. And so, it's his plan to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
It's his plan to steal your hope, to kill your faith, and to destroy your trust.
Yeah.
And so, if you don't stand on guard against that, it'll creep in. The enemy isn't threatening you, anybody.
That's right.
He's not threatening you. You are perfectly fine living the life that you live. Whether a duplicitous lifestyle where you say one thing with your mouth and do another thing, well, he's not threatening with you. Just straight up say, no, I don't want to follow Jesus. I don't do this God thing and I'm not feeling
right.
He's not threatening. But the moment you step out there and say, you know what, God, I got to trust you.
Yeah.
Like these people just did today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you step out there, oh, the guns of hell are aimed at you. Satan is coming for your neck. But you see, that's why James 1 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because the testing of your faith is producing perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What the Israelites didn't realize in their time of wandering in the wilderness was that God was refining them and allowing them to become the people of the promise.
Yeah.
When you come out of slavery, your mindset is not one that's primed for God's promise.
Right.
Like, I think back 8 years ago, and the things that I thought would not have allowed me to be in the place where I am.
Right.
The way that I live would not have prepared me for where I am now. And so over time, God allows difficulty, tragedy, frustration, discord, challenge to come so that in it all, he's chipping away those things in your character, those things in your heart that are not like him. But unfortunately, the Israelites, and in many ways us, We don't like that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't like refining.
Yeah. That's right.
We don't like being those lumps of clay that need to be molded and shifted and cut and broken off and then put in the fire
right.
In order for the masterpiece to come out.
Yeah.
But the promise is on the other side of faith.
Yes.
The promise is a result of God's provision and his protection.
Right.
And so, what is the cure
to our entitlement issue?
What is the answer to this disease of entitlement? Of saying, I deserve. What is the answer? You know, I believe the answer is in many ways gratitude and trust. Gratitude and trust. Despite hearing the people complain over and over again about their new situations and their place in life, y'all notice what God did in the scripture we read, in that passage? God didn't say, y'all know what? Y'all some sorry sons. I saved you from this, took you out of this, moved you from this. God didn't go through his whole list of things he did before he answered their complaint.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that God isn't like us?
Because
when somebody does other wrong, they start complaining or something happens, we might be the first one to be like, but don't you know I gave you this? I did this for you. I can't believe you complaining now when I did. God simply said, you know what? I'll fix this. I'm going to answer their complaints. I'm going to give them meat. I'm going to give them bread. And the bread that God, like, God, if you keep reading through chapter 16, God allowed manna to fall from the sky. Magical angel bread just falling out of the sky every morning. But God still required them to do some work. He didn't just put it on the plate. He said, you got to go out and get it every morning.
Yeah.
Even though God's grace and mercy is available, he still wants you to go to him.
Yeah.
Personally, this is why God is God and I'm not.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, yo, you have to go through some more since you want to complain. You keep complaining. But God was like, you know what? One, they're not complaining against you guys. Moses, Aaron, it ain't about you. Just get out of the way. They're complaining about me. So let me make sure they know it was me that saved them.
Yeah.
It was me that delivered them.
Right.
Yeah. It was me that gave them what they needed.
Yeah.
And so as they get what they need some more, make sure they know it's all me. Aren't you glad that despite your complaining, despite your whining, despite the things that you forgot, God isn't like, I'm gonna shut it off. Since you what ungrateful, unholy, never mind, I'm gonna shut it off. Unpleasant. But instead, God decides to say, you know what? I'm going to be so gracious and so loving and so caring that I will not withhold my love from those people,
that's right,
even when they miss the mark.
Right.
Let's look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Because I believe this is a scripture that everyone should highlight, keep in their memory banks, in order to remind them that the answer to our entitlement is gratitude and trust. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1, says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly, even when you think you're being treated unfairly at work, at school, whatever the case may be. Verse 7, he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow, unlike us, to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins, and he does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Talk about what we do deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth, and he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Why? Because he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. It's so beautiful that God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Because when we say we deserve, really the only thing that fits at the end of that is death, hell, and the grave.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, I had the nerve once or twice to talk back to my mom. Now y'all see my mama now. She's all sweet. You know, she's a grandma now. Well, back when I was a kid, I had the nerve to say, you know what? I deserve money for good grades. She said, what you deserve is gonna clean your room, wash the dishes, and wipe down the baseboards. Yeah, the baseboards. My son got it easy, man. She turned that soft. But the thing is, if we don't fix our perspective,
yeah,
it's easier for us to say we deserve this,
yeah,
and forget that we deserve that. Psalm 103 also says he knows how weak we are. But God sees our need, and he knows the ways that we're bound. He knows the ways that we're enslaved, and he wants us to give him a chance to release. Release us from that.
Yeah.
Like Harriet Tubman said, I freed 1,000 slaves, and I could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were enslaved.
Wow.
The problem for us these days is oftentimes we don't even realize how we're enslaved in our sin.
Mm.
We don't realize how we're enslaved to our devices. We don't realize how we're enslaved to these things that God wants to free us from, and we just don't want to let go.
Help us out, John.
There's a tug of war in our hearts whether you made Jesus Lord or not.
Right.
There's this tug of war in our hearts to hold on to what's comfortable.
Right.
To hold on to what's easy to get along with.
Yeah.
And so the fight for us when we've been freed from sin by Jesus' blood, and when we're striving to be free from sin by seeking Jesus, the fight for both is to let go. To be grateful for what God has done, and to be reminded. That's why, at the end of the chapter, God says, put some manna in a jar. Now, mind you, this manna disappeared every night. And if they collected too much, it was spoiled. But God gave them just enough for what they needed every day. Give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
But he said, put some in the jar, because y'all forgetful judges will forget again. So just so you don't forget, be reminded that it was me that gave you this miracle from heaven.
Yeah.
As we move into 2019, what are those things that you need to be reminded of from 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015? What are those things that you need to be reminded of to temper your complaints with God? And how are you planning to be reminded? If you're here with us today and you don't know what areas of life you can be grateful for, know this. Jesus gave up his rightful entitlement for you. If you can't piece together something to be thankful for, be thankful that before you were ever here on this earth, Jesus decided to leave his rightful place at the right hand of God so that you would have a chance to be able to be with him.
Amen.
You don't know what that means to follow Jesus. You don't know what it means to give up everything after seeing these baptisms. Don't leave here without taking an opportunity to talk to somebody. Talk to the person that invited you out. Talk to somebody and say, you know what? I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know what the wilderness journey is going to be, but I want to know more about this God who decided to bankrupt heaven in order to give me a chance.
Come on,
you know, here's the path, our motto is we meet you where you are.
That's right.
That's not just some nice thing to put on our sides, but it's literally, we come to where you are. Physically, like we're gonna drive to some coffee shops. But also figuratively, wherever you are in your relationship with God, in your faith journey, we're coming to meet you there.
Yeah.
So that we can point to a God that saves.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're gonna be faced with in 2019. I don't know what challenges await. I don't know what your wilderness is going to look like. But as we sit here on this last Sunday of 2018, my charge to you is to go into the next year with the mindset that whatever comes my way, I need to face it with gratitude and trust. And so, I have something for you to do. You got homework. You got homework. Before this year ends, write down 10 things you're grateful for. Just 10. You struggle to get to 10. You might want to do a little more work on this exercise. And then write down 5 things you have felt entitled to that you need to repent of. 10 things you're grateful for. 5 things you felt entitled to that you need to repent of. Because ultimately, entitlement kills and gratitude builds. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you provide for us despite our complaining, despite our entitlement, despite our whining. God, you move us here and there. You orchestrate our lives. You allow us to be placed in places we never would have imagined. But yet, we can take our eyes off of your faithfulness and compare. So God, I pray that as we go into this next year, I pray that we can first be grateful for access to you.
Yes.
God, as we take communion, I pray that we recognize that the cracker represents your body that was broken, beaten, bruised, and bloodied. Even when Jesus could have simply said no. And he would have been well within his rights. But yet, you had this plan all along for our freedom. God, I pray as we drink this juice that represents your blood, we recognize that your blood washes us, cleanses us, covers us with your grace. And because we don't deserve it, we can be even more grateful for what you do. God, I pray that whatever touched the hearts of those in here, I pray that it will be beyond a feeling. But God, I pray that it will help us all to recognize that we need to constantly come to you.
Yeah.
And place in our right place for your glory. We love you. We praise you in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.